Lord, and I pray right now that as your spirit is moving, oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we as a body yield unto you right now, Father. Oh, I would dare you to just get right up right now and just take a minute and receive what's going on right now in this moment. Glory to God, not of what I would ask you to do, but what you feel in your heart. He said if you draw nigh to him, that he would draw nigh to you. Glory to God, Lord. I'm praying right now for all of my friends and co-workers, and I'm praying, God, for even my enemies tonight, Lord. And, Lord, I know that you see what's out there. And, Lord, we're standing together before you, bringing our needs unto you. For, God, we know, Lord, that you are our source of strength. You are the source to which cometh our help. You're a present help in a time of trouble. And Lord, there are many needs of people that are not here tonight. And Lord, you put it in our spirit last week to begin to pray for this. And God, right now, I'm going to do it again. Lord, I pray for every person that cannot be here, that is ill in body, that is not able to make it. I know that you're a healer. And I believe, God, you can go out to right where they are and move in their lives and touch them. Lord, I believe tonight, God, for the children, Lord, of parents in this place that need a mighty move of God in their lives, for nieces and nephews and grandchildren. I'm believing, God, that you are a deliverer, and I bind against the spirit of fear that would keep us down from believing that you're able. And God, I bind, somebody say this right now, say, I bind it. We bind against that enemy that comes to hinder and destroy and devour. And I bind that spirit of darkness. And I say, you cannot dwell in this sanctuary. You don't have any play here. And we command it to go, for we're on our way unto things that are greater. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Glory to God. If you believe it and you agree with that right now, just give him a praise. My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Oh, I feel like praising him in here right now. Lord, I don't know. Somebody needs to say this right now. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I believe it's good. I don't know how it's going to come, but I believe it's on the way. Encourage the faith of your people this night, oh God. Oh, I felt that. I'd almost even forgot about what we did last week, but God quickened my spirit right then and showed me that we needed to pray and stand in the gap. Did anybody else feel that? My Lord. Oh, my Lord and my God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, I praise you right now. Oh, while the moment is nigh, church, if the Spirit's moving on you, you ought to obey it right now. My Lord and my God. Some of you maybe haven't got in and prayed this week like you should have. Just take a minute right now and just open up your mouth and just say, God, I know I've slacked on you, but forgive me. I want to be in your will. Oh, I'm telling you right now, if there's somebody or something heavy on your heart, just lift it up to him right now and just begin. He said to confess, oh, to talk about it. And Lord, I'm believing, God, as we are yielding to you in this moment, surrendering unto your presence, that God, you're moving and ministering. I feel this right now. I almost feel like I'm out of place, but I feel something going on for somebody in this room right now. God is moving in somebody's situation. My Lord and my God. You can go ahead and be seated if you wish tonight. I'm just going to offer a little bit of what the Lord has put in my heart, because I know if I give you the whole lot of it, we'll be here all night long. But I'm just going to let him have his way in this place. If you have a Bible tonight, we're going to go through some scripture. We're going to start in the 24th chapter of Proverbs. And if you want to either write it down or mark your place, we'll also read from the 37th chapter of Psalms. Thank you, God. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm happy. God is good. He is wonderful. He's my sovereign. He's my best friend. I'm happy tonight. I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care how people will tell you. You have the right to feel down and upset. You also have the right to be happy. You have the right to smile. You have the right to take back your joy that the devil has tried to steal from you. And I just wanted to say that I'm happy tonight. I'm happy to be in His presence. I'm happy to be a redeemed child of God. I'm happy that He never leaves me. I'm happy that He's with me. I could almost do a little bit of a happy dance, but I don't want to embarrass myself too much. But I'm here to tell you, there's a good reason to be happy. If you know Christ, when all else would fail you, you have a reason to be thankful. We're going to read 24th chapter of Proverbs. We will read the 16th verse tonight. We'll go ahead and begin. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And let's read out of Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, pay attention to that phrase, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Tonight, as the Spirit gave witness to me, this is what I have to tell you. One of the most difficult struggles we face as human beings is dealing with ourselves after we fail. And mostly it is not God that struggles with us to get us back up again, but mostly it's ourselves that keeps us down. To be a victor in Christ means that you have defeated the fear of getting back up again. It means that once you are standing again, that you learn from it and use it to establish you. Tonight, let me open up with this thought. There are a lot of people that I began to think about in my mind in their story and their testimony in the scripture about people that did a good work and was known for something good, but at some point, Brother Matt, had maybe fallen along the way. Some of the names came to me like Abraham and Noah, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Peter are just to name a few. So while I see God as victorious throughout the scripture, I found, however, that we as human beings have failed along the way. And I don't know if anybody's ever been through this feeling, and this picture and ideology, what I'm about to give you, is what provoked this in my spirit. There have been times when I set out to do something good for God, and somewhere along the way, whether it be by circumstance or trial, something comes and destroys the passion that I have to do what I'm setting out to do. So you'll be going and you'll have a zeal to preach, a zeal to teach, a zeal to sing. You get excited. You learn new songs. You want to do it. There's a desire, a drive in you to want to do that. But then things begin to happen. And then that which you were doing successfully at one point begins to end up resulting in failure. In fact, we end up not even doing it hardly at all anymore. How many of you have ever been in a slump before? If you didn't raise your hand, you're not honest. We've all been through slumps. Now, I don't care how people declare how perfect they are. If we were born of a woman a few days full of trouble, you were already born into trouble. Even before you got into trouble, you were born into it. Can't avoid it. Can't escape it from time to time. There will be moments where we are irrational when we know that we should not be. There are moments where we should be active and we do not be active. There are moments when we should yield to the anointing of God. I feel this. When we should yield to the anointing of God, but we quench the spirit and hinder the very move that God's trying to do. Now listen, I have seen an absolute breakthrough power of God's service going on, and then you know and feel it in your heart that something's supposed to happen, that people are supposed to get in, and it gets to this point where it begins to immediately digress. Brother, what is that? That's when somebody is quickened by the Spirit of God to do something and they quench the Spirit. When you feel something immediately move and lift away, that is somebody that is saying, I do not want to yield to the presence of God. Now, I wouldn't have to ask you this question very long before you could think of a church service where everything was seeming to go great. And it just seems like there was just one too many songs, or maybe the minister went 10 minutes too long, and it got to the point where you felt something hinder the moment. Now here's where God had me in this. It's so easy for us to justify sitting down when it's hard, and we can't hardly seem to find a reason to justify why it's important to get back up again. And what I behold when I go and visit places and try to minister to people, I'm not seeing people that are being held down against their will. I'm not in the presence of people at times that have some person that says, you can't do this. But when we travel and we go and visit and the power of God begins to move, sometimes you can just literally see that people inside of themselves have more reasons to stay down than they do to want to be up. So here's where the Spirit of God was ministering to me. It seems like every time that I try to do something good, and somebody give me a witness if you're with me, every time you try to do something good, every word that tries to come out of you, the devil will try to stumble you up on what you're trying to say. Every time that you ever try to recall a scripture that had been burning in your heart all day, and all of a sudden you can't remember what the book name was or what the chapter number was or something that's trying to hinder the moment, I'm here to tell you right now that even though we're getting older, our minds aren't that bad. I'm here to tell you right now that sometimes when the Spirit of God is trying to move and prosper in a service, that the devil comes to take what he thinks he can devour. And there'll be times when you try as you may and do the best that you can, and you may forget something from time to time. And there's been times that I go home and think to myself, I preached an hour but didn't even get the point across of what I really wanted to say. Brother Ray, I don't know if you've been there. I've preached for an hour. I've preached 2 hours about every weekend and can still think of 3 hours of things that I didn't get out that I wanted to get out. Yeah. And there's been some times that I've come and learned a song and try to sing the song, and it seems like that I just can't get my fingers to cooperate. Can't get the voice to get loose and be able to sing and enjoy it. I'm here to tell you that there is a difference. And when things come to try to attack you, and when you willingly choose not to, there will be times when the devil tries to come against you. But if you will step into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when you lose your words, he gives you words. When you lose your voice, he gives you a voice. When you lose your willpower to get up again, the Spirit comes to quicken your mortal body. So there's something that we have to begin to examine in this. And this is what I had to ask myself, Matt. Am I letting my justifications of when I fail keep me from being willing to get back up again? Or am I willing to try and am under a supernatural attack of the devil? Because I'm telling you, the devil's cunning, but he's not to blame for everything that goes on in your life. We give him too much credit most of the time. The devil's robbed me all day long. I just can't seem to get in a good mood. Don't you blame the devil. God's given you every reason in the world to be in a good mood. Oh, I'm here to tell you right now, I'm not going to blame him for every single thing that goes on in my life, because here's the deal. The things that the Spirit has spoken to me about is something I have authority over. Amen. Oh, we're going somewhere. You better put on the seatbelt before it gets rough. The Spirit gives me the authority to know the difference on right and wrong. Amen. Does it not? It also teaches me about the things I should do and should not do. Does it not? But if we quench this presence when it wants to thrive, then when we get in the moment where we need guidance, that voice that would speak to us isn't loud enough for us to be able to hear. Because as we fail and continually fail without giving God an opportunity to intervene, then we make decisions based on our own understanding. But the Scripture didn't say to lean to your own understanding. He said to not lean on your own understanding, because the ways of God are what? Above ours. Now let's put it together. I'm starting to get excited. All the things that we feel like we do not have an answer for, we can receive an answer if we're in the presence of God. Amen. I'm going to give you a minute on that one. Oh, glory to God. I'm here to tell you right now, the things that you want comfort in, but seemingly like you never feel like that you get comfort, that is where the Spirit of God wants to intervene. Oh, me or oh my. Well, however you want to receive that or not. So let's preach it just a little bit, Brother Odiva. That part of me that does not want to get up when I have failed can get up again if the anointing of God is in my life. But if I do not choose to have God first in my life, I'm going to sit down and have no willpower. You cannot have a single chain or shackle on you, but be in just as much of bondage as people that are literally tied down. How do you know that, brother? Because I've been under the bondage of things that were bigger than I was. I knew what drug addiction was. I understood it before I ever knew what it felt like firsthand. But oh, when you start to go through something bigger than you are, you almost feel like that you're powerless. You almost feel like that nobody cares. You feel like that nobody can lend you the helping hand to get you through it. But I'm here to tell you right now, there was a moment in an encounter that I had with God one day, and he took all my fears of being able to move on and live a normal life, and he cast them away into the sea of forgetfulness. So I don't live my life in fear, and every time I fail, I don't look to drugs as my source of strength. There is something inside of me that has been transformed by the renewing of my mind and by the blood of Christ. All that I would have been guilty over has been forgiven. So when I go to go in my life and I end up failing from time to time, there's something that is deep down inside. Look over at somebody and say, do you got it? Do you got it? Do you got it? There's something. Oh, if somebody's got it in here, you ought to testify. Oh, there's something that is deep down inside of me that when I go to sit down and give up, it quickens me and reminds me that I'm more than able, to get through this thing. When the storm looks bad and I don't see a way out, there's something that begins to stir in me and makes me want to sing, so let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me. I feel the power of God, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. How are we not alone? Because he walks with me, and not of earth can harm me. Tell somebody, for I'm sheltered in the arms. If you believe that, you ought to praise him right now. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. If the word spoke through Christ could cause Lazarus to get up again, then the word of God coming out of this minister's mouth to you should stir something in you to come out of that cave. If there's something that is inside of you that shows that God is in you, then when he speaks, it ought to move you. Oh, let me say that again. Oh, if there's something in you, then when God speaks, it ought to move you. You might like me, you might tell people I'm your favorite preacher, but you better not get caught up in this only getting up for one and not the other business. You better learn to receive the word from God. This is just a mouthpiece. You ought to receive the word no matter where it comes from, because one day we might not be here to have a microphone and a PA and the free will of choice to serve him openly in public. This might be removed like it is in other world countries, but there's something in you that will forever remain that can help you when you feel like you don't want to get back up again. You know what tells me that there's something to this thing? Because when people mourn, he is comfort to their broken heart. When they are persecuted beyond their control, he comes in closer than a brother. Oh, I feel this. When we lack the understanding to comprehend our trial, he said, I'll give you peace that goes beyond how you even know the situation. So that tells me that if the Spirit can traverse, no matter whether it's problem or success, then that also tells me that I'm never alone in anything. You might want to come in and serve him like you're alone, but don't you dare wait on me to come in and act like I don't know that he's not with me. If you hadn't seen a relative in a long time and they were coming to your house to visit you, would you not do the best you could to make them feel welcome? I would. There was a scripture that you read in the Bible of a father that had lost his wayward son to the world. And when he saw him afar off, he went running to him. You know what that's talking about? No matter how hard that I have fallen, no matter how sad I get in my heart, if I will turn unto him, His Holy Spirit comes running to me. And then I know, no matter what I'm going through, oh Lord help me, no matter what I'm going through, I know that He's going to be there. Oh, you're just going to have to give me a minute. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what the future will bring, I know that He's with me. And every time, no matter if I'm in the lowest place of my life, the very moment that I even turn my heart to Him, I don't even hardly get the first word out before He ministers to me and cleanses me and makes me to be whole again. The devil would have you to think you're by yourself. But stop believing that. It's time we realize we're not alone. Let's go ahead and read some of this that He's put in my spirit. And if you can't get there or you don't hear what I said about the scripture and you want to know it, come ask after service. I'm going to read it to you right now. Psalm 145 verse 14 says, "The Lord upholds all," say all "that fall." There's no exempt list. Do you know what that's even speaking to me about? He even holds the lost. Isn't that wonderful? That His judgment doesn't come upon people when they've not even received Christ. Isn't it wonderful that He even holds them? Because I'm here to tell you, without Him, I wouldn't have had two dimes to rub together. Nobody would have found me as a suitable candidate for marriage. Nobody would have found me as a suitable candidate to be an employee. And I would have been worthless to the world. But He upheld me. When nobody else would, He holds us up. Look over at somebody and make sure they understood that. Look over and tell them, He holds us up. I like having everybody talk to each other. Makes it less uncomfortable if we get to know one another. And if we're only talking about God, only good can come from it, right? And let's read the second part of that verse. And He, read that word with me, raiseth up all those that be what? Bowed down. So when you turn your heart to Him, He'll pick you up. So that means that when you fall, He's already got you. But when you're ready to get back up again, He says, I'll help you get back up. Now, I didn't go through it like a lot of ministers maybe went through it, maybe in the 80s and 90s. But there was a lot of religion that tried to choke out the presence of God. I've heard people's testimonies that based on how they looked or dress code, tradition, religion, had to be a certain way. But I don't read in the scripture anywhere where it divides people that have the love of God extended to them based on religion. You know what that tells me? That I shouldn't live my life to make people religious. I have to learn to live my life to love them as God first loved me. Because if you will genuinely love somebody, genuinely give them a chance, even when you see them failing, if you love them enough, you will help them to realize the Spirit within them. Because until they realize the Spirit within them, listen, they'll never feel conviction to change what they're doing. So as much as I would like to just throw the Bible at somebody and be like, read it and figure it out and get your act together, that doesn't seem to make as much of a difference as if I go to somebody with genuine love and say, I care about you, I'm concerned for you, and I'm praying for you. Do you see the contrast and difference in approaching that in that kind of way? I know that when God has brought me to my worst estate, when I have been in the worst situation, that when the Spirit spoke to me, it showed me the right way to go. We'll wait and simmer on 2 to 3 weeks of time before we even start thinking about maybe asking God to give us a hand in something. But yet we'll still show up to church. We'll still shake hands. We'll put some money in the plate. We'll read the scripture. We'll shake hands, we'll be friendly, we'll be merry, we'll worship, we'll try to have a good time, but then we go out the same way that we came in. And God don't want us going back out in a condition that He can help with. If He's more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, that also means that we don't have to go back out the same way we came, irregardless of a situation that we're facing. Now, I'm here to tell you right now, just because He's able and we declare that to each other, doesn't mean that we shouldn't still care that somebody's hurting, right? So I want to clarify and make sure we understand that it is our duty as Christians to bear each other's burdens. And while people are grieving, He said to grieve with those that would grieve and rejoice with those that would rejoice. So when we're in these times together, we're supposed to hold each other up, help one another. Because I'm here to tell you, today I feel good in my life. But tomorrow something may happen and cause me to fall. And I'm going to need some encouragement along the way. And that's why he said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because we're here to be assembled in his presence by him. But as we go out from here, we are the representatives of Christ. We are the encouragement that sometimes the only words that people will ever hear. But here's the deal. If we're constantly frustrated, there's no witness in it. And when we quench the spirit because of our own fears and frustrations, when people would need to see the anointing in you, the absence of it leads them to think, well, I can just keep going the way I'm going. There are people that are in bondage today that do not have to be anymore. But they are still in bondage because no one is ministering to them. We have an up-and-coming young generation that is facing things. You think they have it bad, but they're facing things even 10 times harder than you could even understand that's happening. We even think that we understand people's pain, but they're going through temptations that we've never even had to face as young people. Now, I would love just to come in and have church with everybody and grow old together and have stories to share about how good that God has been and how wonderful he anointed you that night and remember that one time when this happened and that happened. But I'm not here just to make memories with you. I'm here to try to reach out to people that are broken and hurting and need something different to be shown to them. I'd like to be able to represent in a church where if people come in off the street in the middle of the service and tried to interrupt everything that was going on, that we'd have enough love in us that we wouldn't worry about if the tradition got interrupted. We wouldn't worry about if form and fashion was interrupted, but our hearts within us would see that they had fallen and that we would be willing to help pick them back up again. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." James 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." When we fall, do you want to know the first thing you have to do? Because sometimes I've been mixed up about where to even start back again. Do you know the first step to coming back to God is repenting. Repenting. We must acknowledge the fault. We must acknowledge when we have come short. Because if you don't talk about it and you don't allow yourself to acknowledge that you failed in something, pride will kill you. It will destroy. It'll make you think that you could never fail. How many of you have had some friends along the way before that were in a bit of a competitive nature? That when you went and bought a car, the following week they had a nicer one than you. That when you showed up in a new shirt, the following week they had a better shirt on than you did. I've had friends like that. You could literally try to share good news with them and be like, "Guess what happened to me?" They don't even hear what you're saying. They come back to you and be like, "No, you've got to hear what happened to me." It is not a competition. Don't exhaust yourself trying to prove yourself. If God is for you, who could be against you? This isn't a competition. You don't have to worry about trying to do the most inside the church to be proven. The Word proves you. So if we come in and we'll submit to God when we fall, simply acknowledging the fault and just saying, "God, I ask for your forgiveness in this." Because here's the deal. We do all the other parts. We believe that he can forgive us. We accept his mercy. We go right on about our life like nothing's ever happened. But you know, if we don't acknowledge the fault repeats itself. And as the fault repeats itself, then the potential of the growth of anointing in your life is hindered. Because God wants you to acknowledge what you faced and learn to put it where? Behind you. Here's an example. He delivered me from drugs. Isn't that wonderful? But if I had never acknowledged that I was an addict and in bondage, never faced the fact that I should be sorry for what I did, then if I never asked for forgiveness, then maybe if I was delivered, I'd just go right back to it again. Have you ever seen people that do that? Yeah. You pray for them and they feel good in their heart. They feel the anointing. You can feel it and not let it change you.